whatnot.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Celebrities should not drive cars. Our justice system is a farce. Why can't they just take limos when they drink? Because they make like $10,000 trillion, I think.
Yeah, good song. The Don and Wonderful. Mike Show.
Liked it yesterday, like it today.
They try to help you, so go to hell. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Always like it when we get someone on the show. Looking forward to talking to this person. In this case, it's Ben Lyons. He's on Exclamation Point. He's the movie guy.
Good movie guy.
Jeffrey Lyons is his dad. He's good. The guy's opinionated and he's funny. And I imagine he'll be great. But he, of course, has no idea who the frig we are.
Right.
I'm sure from the little conversation Rob had with him,
mm-hmm.
that he has no idea that we are regionally or whatever you want to say.
So regional treasures?
He doesn't even have an idea what the format is. I heard Rob saying to him, well, it's kind of personality talk.
That's, do you think that describes us?
What's that mean?
No.
Is there anything that does describe this show?
Just say it's.
It's crap.
It's just a big pile of goo.
It really is. You know, but we make do. It's mildly entertaining.
Our show is junk. And now here is here's Ben Lyons. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you? Wow, that's the best introduction I've heard all day. That's
the great fantastic. Ben Lyons. I love Ben Lyons on Exclamation Point.
How are you, Ben?
I think I'm going to start referring to it as that. And I know you guys are on all over the place. I know you're San Francisco, Miami, Sacramento, cities.
We lose them like at the drop of a hat.
Went to a website. I just heard one of our lackeys just saying to you, hold on, it's personality talk. Just wanted you to know. Who cares if you know what our show is about? We're definitely aware of you.
We like movies.
You're good.
That's a good part of the
that's
show.
That's good. That's you're, good. It keeps, you know, keeps me employed for mm-hmm. the time being, which nothing wrong with that.
You're good. You let me just say this.
Thank you.
You're no Leonard Maltin, son.
Hey, well, I was getting comparisons to Joan Rivers for a while, so this is a lot better.
No, oh, absolutely.
No, Leonard Maltin is a tool. I like you a lot. I'd like to know, if you don't mind, if we pick your brain about these movies, the Pirates movie. How many people, I know I got awful press, Ben, awful reviews, everybody went to see it, but I still hear that even people that went to see it one time are going back because they can't follow the goddamn thing.
There's something in the popcorn. I don't know if Disney kind of brainwashes people. There is nothing about this movie that I'm a fan of. I understand the appeal. It's beautiful people, beautiful costumes. But, you know, for the rest of us who want a decent movie, it's 3 hours long. It's not really for kids on any level. And I was interviewing people on Hollywood and Highland who were dressed as Jack Sparrow, and they didn't know what happened in Pirates 2, yet they were waiting online. No one could pitch me the movie. It was really unprecedented.
You know, it seems like a lot of these movies that get panned by the critics, you know, if it's a franchise, if it's one, two, or three, people are just steamrolling in to see them anyway, and that's a little different than it's been in the past.
Well, you know, some people are upset with Hollywood for the fact that they continue to have sequels and there's nothing creative.
That would be me.
Reason. However, I look at it for certain films as an opportunity for the characters to really be fleshed out and to have a story arc. And even in a movie like Spider-Man or a franchise like that, like if you look at the first film, James Franco's character, all the way to the third, the arc of the Green Goblin is really cool, and it's fun for a young actor to sink his teeth into. Now that's the fanboy geek in me. For the average moviegoer, they don't care. They don't want it. They want to see explosions and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Well, what about the average moviegoer though that wants to see new ideas and new original concepts? And it almost seems like year after year we're getting further and further away from it.
Well, but for every sequel this summer, there's a Transformers, a movie that's been 20 years in the works.
Okay,
and a movie like The Simpsons also been in the works for a long time.
Yeah, but Ben, to be devil's advocate. The Simpsons is based on a TV show that we all love.
Right.
The Transformers is based on toys that we love.
All right. How about an original comedy like Knocked Up, which they shot
now
right
that...
here at E, which is one of the funniest movies I've seen in years.
Oh, so you have seen it. I'm very excited about this
I've seen it twice. I never have time to see movies twice, let alone once. I'm always catching up. But to see it twice is a true testament.
You know, what I like about the trailers on this movie is you've got laughs, but they're not super gags. You know, the trailer has just some very very funny little lines, and if the movie's jammed with those, I think it's going to be great.
Absolutely. It's definitely, mark my words, it is not one of those movies where they give away all the good scenes in the trailers.
Good.
You know, they do that a lot. That's mm-hmm. not what it is. But look, also, there's a movie called Stardust, which I saw the other day. It's with a young actor named Charlie Cox and this guy you might have heard of named Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer. It's a fantasy movie, completely original, new characters, new worlds, new story. The whole thing surfs up with my buddy from the Daily 10, Sal Masekela. Wow. That's in theaters next week.
Well, what about Ben? What about Superbad? I've seen the ads. No. It looks funny to me,
dude. It is. I've seen parts of it. I was actually on set for it. I played an extra in the frat party scene. I hope they didn't cut me out. I'm like beer funnel number two.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and that was fun staying out in Northridge, California, until 6 a.m. doing a summer scene in the winter. But anyway, I digress. The movie's great. Jonah Hill, who's in Knocked Up, he's the star. He's the fat dude on the poster. He is hilarious. The movie's going to do very well. A lot of great comedies are coming out this summer, original comedies.
Oh, that's great.
Hot Rod with Andy Samberg from Saturday Night Live. That's really funny. You know, there's Chuck and Larry, that Adam Sandler movie with Kevin James. Like, there's fun original comedies this summer, for sure.
Ben, when did it change from having a movie that would be out there, and it would be out there all summer, and if you liked it, it got some buzz going. Even with something like this new Shrek thing, the whole thing is you hit one weekend, you hit the mother load, you shoot your load on that first weekend, and then you forget about it. It's like...
Well, that's domestically here. You know, don't forget, these movies are so big and they're so star power that they play around the world, and they'll play all summer. I mean, Spidey will be playing in Qatar until January. I mean, I was reading some box office figures on Spidey. They literally made money in countries I've never heard of. I have not heard of a country named OMA, O-M-A, and they made like $80,000. So they're like, really, no stone is going unturned to get money. So these films, while they are have somewhat of a shorter life here in the States, because, you know, there's something every weekend. Every weekend. There's no lost weekends anymore. When I was a kid, you know, it used to be January, February. That's when you dump movies, you know. But like a movie like 300 came out in the winter and made $70 million. Like, okay. There's no more lost weekends anymore.
Here's a question for you about the movie Knocked Up. At least in my limited history of going to movies in the last 10 years, let's say, as far as comedies go, two movies that I went to see made me think, God damn, like, this is like when I saw Animal House. And they were, There's Something About Mary.
Right,
and
absolutely.
Then when I saw Borat, right. Both times I thought, these, like, are going to be movies that I own forever.
Excellent examples, and where is Knocked Up on that scale?
It's right there. You know, I think it's one of those films that's going to go down as the great comedies. I remember seeing Borat for the first time and having that same kind of, this is changing the way I look at comedies feel. And even for me as a kid, you know, I was 17 the summer that American Pie came out. And for me, that was kind of a big deal. I was a senior in college, high school, going to the prom. It spoke to me at that age in my life, you know? And with this being a young, you know, I'm a young reporter from the E! Network. She plays an E! Network reporter. So for me, like, you know, and for a guy like Seth Rogen, you know, he looks like he's 47 and he's 25 years
true,
old.
He does.
And you know what? It's his strongest asset. It's like the best thing about him. He's not Tom Cruise.
It's
Tom
hard
Hanks
to believe he is 25. You see him in The 40-Year-Old Virgin, and I just cannot believe he is that young.
Yeah, he looks like a 40-year-old virgin.
He does.
And why is it, do you think, Ben, everybody has their own taste? You know, it's like everybody, it's like a-holes. Everybody's got one. Like opinions. Why is it if I see something like The Bourne Supremacy, whatever it is, the third one of that, I go, oh, cool, those first two were good. I'd like to see that one. But on the other hand, if it's Pirates of the Caribbean number three, it's like, I wouldn't go there if you couldn't pay me to get it. Why is it that some movies like The Bourne's, what's the new one? It's The Bourne.
It's The Bourne Ultimatum. And I think the secret to the Bourne franchise is that those films are based in reality. They're high concept, international espionage, big stars, chase scenes, explosions, all that stuff. But it's got a real feel to it, so it's easier to relate to. I don't think, I hope at least, I'm never on a ship battling a giant snake man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. The subways are pretty crazy in New York, but that's never going to happen to me. However, there could be mistaken identity with passports in Brazil, you know, Belgium or something. thing. And try, so for the Bourne Ultimatum movie, I think it's just real, and it really speaks to fans.
Is there anything this summer, Ben, we've talked a lot of about movies that you like. Is there anything besides the Pirates of the Caribbean movie that you're running away from, saying avoid this like the plague?
You know, for me, like, you talk about taste and everybody's different. I'm just not a horror guy. Blood and guts, the way they do movies like Hostel and things like that, I just can't get into. There's a movie out right now called Bug with Ashley Judd where bugs infect her. You know, Ashley Judd's beautiful. Like, I want to see her kissing her husband when he wins the race. I don't want to see her with a bug inside. You know,
she
wasn't
bad in the rain, too, during that race, too.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of
nice like
drizzle
that.
Out
right.
there. Yeah, we're very well played. But you know what? To be honest, horror movies for me, they've kind of lost their appeal. And I think if you look recently at some of the box office trends, they're kind of down from that big boom that happened about 18 months ago. Now,
where did you line up on Disturbia? Because I thought that was not a bad movie.
That's not a horror movie.
Yeah, it really isn't a horror movie.
It's a psychological thriller. It's scary with its tone and its style. It's not like blood and guts.
Right, you're absolutely right.
That's the difference in terms of creating a film that's like timeless. Like, Disturbia will play forever. I mean, they're going to be, you know, that's like a movie that's like kind of Rear Window meets Say Anything.
Yeah, you're right.
Timeless.
You know what I mean?
Timeless. Let's speak about music and lyrics.
Yeah, there you go.
How does it? No, really, my girlfriend made me go see that movie with her because we always see the movies I like. Why is it that a great movie like Waitress will be out and will do like $3 million and a real piece of crap, I mean, really a turd wrapped up in a film can like that thing that I saw with Hugh Grant and Drew Barrymore, I see that in the United States, it makes $40 million.
Yeah, and it's still a bomb, though. And, you know, the reason why is at the end of the day, these distributors, the ones who actually control the movie theaters and what gets played, to them, Drew Barrymore and Hugh Grant are more box office depending than Carrie Russell, that girl from Felicity. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it takes word of mouth for a movie like Waitress to make money and come out of Sundance and start in little markets and then roll out and roll out. And I think eventually you're going to get to the point where a movie like Waitress, like if you live in St. Louis, you can't see Waitress for like 3 months until it like gets there, if it ever gets there. You know what I mean? So there's companies like Morgan Freeman started a company called ClickStar that you can go and you can download the movie on a computer. You pay $20, whatever it is, and you can see it when it's in theaters in the bigger markets.
Like, oh, good. And it's all on the up and up, too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, you have to be able to reach those smaller audiences because, hey, people in St. Louis deserve the right to see a good movie just as much as anybody in L.A. or New York.
Let me ask your opinion about one more thing as far as movies technology goes. When do you think, in your opinion, will we get to the point where you will have the ability to pay for more money, the chance to watch first-run movies, in your home?
It's already happening on a smaller scale. I mean, Steven Soderbergh, the director of Ocean's 13, you know, he does the Ocean's movies so he can go do his little art house movies on the side. He did a movie that played with Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks, on his cable networks and in his theaters and on DVD called Bubble all the same day. The movie made no money, and it was an experimental film, but it's the beginning of this starting to happen. So I think in the next 18 months to 3 years, you're going to be able to go sit at home and watch a cool art house film that's getting buzzed, a Volvere, a King of Scotland, Little Miss Sunshine, those kind of films.
But when do you foresee a time when Spider-Man 3 opens? And
I hope never, to be honest, because the movies like that really deserve to be seen with an audience and the big screen. I think there'll be a window that's closing, so maybe for a week you have to see it in the theater. So you still have that first week excitement of the people lining up and the whole box office, whatever. But then maybe a week, 10 days later, you can get it at home.
And real quick, you mentioned Ocean's 13. What is your feelings on that one?
Every woman in my office, I don't know why, they're just obsessed with Carl Reiner and Bernie Mac.
No.
It's amazing.
It's truly special.
So, I don't know. I mean, hey, I'm famous, you're famous, let's all be famous in a movie together. Hey, the fact that they got three movies out of a remake of a bad Rat Pack film.
Yeah, and it
was
a bad
impressive.
Rat Pack film.
So, I don't know. We got Pacino in the mix. Have you noticed Al Pacino's just been playing Al Pacino the last 10 years?
Yes. Just screams all the time.
Hi there.
Ben, how did you get into doing what you're doing? Your dad obviously did it. Was it as simple as that?
No, it really wasn't. People think that all the time because, you know, he's been a critic and an interviewer for about 30-something years now, and even his father before that was a Broadway show columnist for the New York Post 40 days a week, 40 days a year, 40 years, 6 days a week, excuse me, a long time. So he wrote 12,000 columns covering everybody. I kind of fell into it. I just bounced around. I was doing a lot of producing music videos and working in the music business, and then got a call from E! And had met some people and just one thing led to another, and who am I to deny going to London and hang out on the set of Harry Potter?
Sounds like you're loving what you're doing. It really
does. Absolutely. It's a thrill. I mean, you get to sit and talk to your heroes and just sit and watch even a movie like Mr. Brooks that nobody's talking about. It's opening Friday.
Yeah.
Sit and talk with someone like Demi Moore. It's like that's something you cherish.
Hey, dude, really, how is that movie? I was thinking about seeing that.
Again, it's to that point of psychological thrillers versus horror movies. It's not a horror movie. It's Kevin Costner as a serial killer with William Hurt as his subconscious, and it takes you into a mind of a killer, and it's kind of cool. It's got like a noir 30s feel to it, and to see Dane Cook in a serious role like you've never seen him before either, it's kind of cool, and it's going to make about $1.40, so it shows you what my voice
is. Does Dane Cook get killed?
I'm not going to tell you all that. I can't give that away.
I'll see if I got that intel, I'd be able to know whether I was going to the movie. It was a dream.
Ben, you're a good guy. We do like you on the TV. It's been nice having you on.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you again,
talking
dude.
Movies. It's a busy time of year, and I appreciate it. You guys are great.
All right, dude.
So
thank you very much.
Ben Lyons, thank you very much.
Yeah. That's Ben Lyons. He is really good on that channel. Yeah. He does say if a movie's a piece of crap.
It's a lot of ground we covered with him. Yeah. A lot of ground we covered with him. Wasn't sure trying to get I wasn't sure the feeling on Ocean's 13. I think he was covering his ass on that.
I believe he was saying, and we did not mention, obviously he talks like this, that the women, I think he was making a joke.
He was making a joke, but he didn't say whether he liked the movie or not.
No.
And you're a big fan of the Ocean's 11 franchise, and I really hope it's good. Because this one, the trailers, and because I'm a Pacino fan, I hope it's good. That's one that I really want to go
Everything
see.
Everything I've read said that they're so embarrassed. The last one was a vanity film.
Yeah.
That this one they're going to make better redeem themselves.
I got the impression that Lyons hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
He
I
danced
don't think
all
so.
Around it without saying any detail. And
right.
That could be the case, too. Mm-hmm.
Think so. If
Lyons.
I had seen it, I would have an opinion.
I like it when you use the last name, too. Lyons.
Lyons talked about Reiner. He talked about Pacino.
Talked about Clooney.
Of course.
Pitt.
Damon.
Moore.
Mac.
Didn't talk about Kutcher. Talked about Cook.
Hold
though.
On, if we're still doing Ocean's 11, then it would be also Affleck,
and of course Roberts, who was in the
Casey
11,
Affleck.
And Barkin, who's in the new one,
mm-hmm.
And don't forget what's his name, who was Benedict.
Don't forget about Gould.
Garcia, yeah, Garcia and
Garcia's good. Garcia works.
How about Cho?
Margaret?
No, I'm just guessing the name of the guy who played the acrobat.
Oh boy,
the guy they called the Grease Man.
Yeah, but
because at one point,
right.
One point Clooney says when they're at the circus, we need a grease man.
Yeah,
well, as long as Cheadle's in it, I'm watching.
Okay,
yeah, Cheadle,
King of the Ocean,
Cheadle with a British accent.
Yes, hello, Cheadle, explosives export.
There we go. I don't know the name. Please don't call with us, everybody. We'll figure it out. John will look at it on Wikipedia.
Yeah,
the guy who played Casey Affleck's retarded brother,
Con.
The guy,
Con.
Con?
Yeah, you're right.
No,
Con.
You're
right.
Hey!
Con.
Thank you.
King of Oceans.
Wow. Son of James.
Mike is King of Oceans.
Right. And, but you know what? I got the last name. I don't have the first.
Scott.
Is it Scott Con? Scott. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Is it Scott Con?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's just like his old man. That cock of the walk thing.
Did you read that James Con got fired from the show Vegas?
No,
really?
Really? He is the show Vegas.
Yeah. He's got to be replaced by Tom Selleck.
Oh, goodbye. So long. I give that show, one more half a season?
Who watches it anyway?
Well, I didn't watch it. I mean, I watched it at the beginning, but James Caan was
I watched the show Vegas.
Pretty high def.
Do you know that?
He got fired?
Do you know that I had to convince my girlfriend that Nikki Cox was a porn star who had gone straight? I'm like, hold on. First, Jan, look, her name is COXX. It used to be. And
right.
And look at the stretch marks on her boobs.
I didn't know she was a porn star that went straight.
Nikki Cox?
I had no idea. Oh, is she the one with the real big
gabonzes? Yeah.
Plays the love interest to.
They're all hot on that
Josh
show.
Josh Duhamel?
Yes, they are.
No. She's not the one that's James Caan's daughter, and she's not the one that.
That's Molly Sims who plays James Caan's daughter,
and she's not the one that kind of looks like that chick you like on 24.
Right?
Okay.
She plays the casino host.
Vanessa
I don't know what
Marseille,
her name.
Yeah.
Vanessa Marseille. Yeah, you
yeah,
watch
lovely,
this show
lovely.
Too?
She's my favorite.
Okay, but so we're leading towards Nikki Cox, who plays. She's kind of like the woman scorned a lot, right?
And she has that like whore mouth on her. She looks like,
but she doesn't play that role at all. I mean, she doesn't really play that role.
But she looks like a porn star.
Well, now that you've mentioned it, now I'm going to look at her in a different light.
Sure.
Oh, you didn't know that the famous Nikki Cox?
No, I had no idea.
Oh my
so
God.
Could you watch Vegas and then pop in a DVD and really have a good old time?
Yes, she went legit.
Oh, wow.
There is no higher compliment than she looks like a porn star. Which brings us back to Paula Deen.
Her previous career.
And her peach cobbler.
Yeah, well, yeah. She showed the world her peach cobbler.
Cobbler fetish films.
Sexy peach cobbler.
Wow.
Her apple, is it apple brown Betty.
Check her out on the DVD.
Boy, would I like to see her shoe fly pie.
See her DVD, Butterbag number 8.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike. What's up?
What's up, radio guys?
Hi there.
Hey, did you hear who was supposed to play the George Clooney role in 13?
I did not hear. Did you hear, Mike?
No, I didn't. Why are you speaking so slowly?
Because I'm a slow person.
Have you, I hate to ask because, you know, 99% of the time we get a yes answer. Have you suffered some sort of head injury?
Yes, THC.
Oh, he's just high.
Oh,
he's right. Just high. He's not one of those guys. Occasionally we get a guy like this and we start tooling on him and the guy's like, yeah. I was... in an accident, and I'm paraplegic and love your show.
You know, and when that happens, because he's called us, we never feel bad about that.
No, we don't.
All right, who is the Clooney role? Go ahead, right away.
Well, they asked Clooney.
He can't do it, Kenny. He can't just give me an answer.
You know, and I don't even know if I believe it. It's George Clooney's project. The movie's his project, sir.
I'm sorry. It was the first one, and they were going to have Bruce Willis play George Clooney's part.
Perhaps in the very first one. Perhaps you're right.
And we didn't get a chance to ask Ben Lyons about in their new Die Hard movie coming out, too?
Yeah. There is.
Let's all think about how your call slowed down the show.
Well, I'm not high yet, so I get even slower later.
Yeah, go back and tend to the plants in the attic.
Okay.
He should take an upper.
That's his new TV show, Plants in the Attic.
Go get yourself a Black Beauty.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Go get some Vivarin, friend.
Slow down.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Nikki Cox is married to Jay Moore, the comedian dude.
You are correct, sir.
Nice factoid. Very, very
you
nice.
You are correct.
Thank you, dumbass.
Hey.
Dumbass. And to you.
Stop it, please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, I think you're wrong about Nikki Cox.
Yeah.
She was never in the porn movies.
Now,
and with the heavy breathing and everything, what is your basis of being an expert on this topic?
The wonderful World Wide Web. I mean, she was... First of all,
you should be disqualified for referring to it as the World Wide Web.
Anyway, did you go on the World Wide Web?
Yeah, IMDb and Wikipedia. But, I mean, she was in some...
If I hear Wikipedia one more time, I'm seriously going to punch somebody. If people don't know that Wikipedia might as well be Essipedia.
Uh-huh. Yep. Essipedia.
Let's go to awesome producer John Norman.
I won't quote that the W word, but on IMDb, she had her first speaking role at the age of 10 on Mama's Family in 1987.
They would normally list her porn credits if she had any, and they don't.
So she's not a porn star.
Well, then who on that show is?
Well, wait a minute. You know what? There is a porn star known as Nikki Cox.
With two X's. Different person.
It's not the same girl?
No, sadly, no.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Sorry, Mike. Oh, boy.
You know what? I don't care, Don. I'm going to pretend.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch Vegas, and I'm going to pretend. Because I know the one you're talking. She could easily be one. She is in my mind.
I got to tell you, my girlfriend has sat through about 5 lectures with me saying, can't you look at that girl? And I really even said, I'm positive I've seen her in pornos.
Hey, all those girls that are painted up on TV. Come on now, they all look like porn stars.
You're kidding me.
It's easy to get it confused because it was the episode on Mama's Family when Vicki Lawrence used her hand.
God. Well, then I'm the one with spooge all over my face here.
Oh, it's all right.
Who's the porn star that went legit?
Well, Tracy Lords is one that comes
to
mind.
That's right. Right.
She was the blonde, and going legit, she really didn't have much of a career after she went legit.
Peter North.
And, of course, Herschel Savage.
They were both on Leave It to Beaver.
Joey Silvera, I believe, did a stint on Dobie Gillis. Uh-huh.
And Herschel Bernardi.
Dennis the Menace.
Arnie.
Arnie.
That was an Arnie.
Oh, Vanessa Del Rio.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello. Seika.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Hey, Nikki Cox used to be married to Bobcat Goldthwait.
Well, also it just keeps true. Getting stranger and stranger.
Now, which
it?
Nikki Cox, though? Nikki Cox on Vegas or Nikki Cox the porn star?
I apologize for getting my Coxes mixed up.
It can happen.
And I bet there's a third.
So many Cox. You know, how am I supposed to decide which one is the right one?
Nikki Cox.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Ronnie's sister.
Wally.
Hello.
Wally.
Wally Cox.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah. Hey, Nikki Cox isn't married to Jay Moore. It's Bobcat Goldthwait.
Okay. You know, that is.
Thank you.
It is kind of a significant distinction for Ms. Cox, isn't it?
And why is it that I jumped up and said yes? Because I think I remember reading that Jay Moore married a porn star.
Maybe Jay Moore is married to the Nikki Cox that's the porn star, and Nikki Cox, the actress on Vegas, was married to Bobcat Goldthwait.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, you mentioned the music and lyrics. Horrible movie.
Yes.
What's wrong with Drew Barrymore's mouth?
It's
Why
dirty.
Doesn't anybody talk about that?
It's dirty, honey.
It's dirty and crooked.
It's dirty and...
Did you know that Drew Barrymore was married to Bobcat Goldthwait for a while?
The problem with her mouth is it allows the passage of too many eclairs.
She is dirty. She's a dirty little birdie.
She stinks.
Clearly had a stroke.
There's only one movie that she's really good in, and I recommend this movie. It's out on DVD. You get that. It's called Fever Pitch. Fantastic film.
Oh, it's just the Red Sox.
She's look at your face.
Listen, if you want to see her at her most erotic,
what?
Red E.T.
Oh, God. You're disgusting.
It's got her and Joey Silvera.
Oh, Jackson.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Brandon.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
I just wanted to say, Don, you might recognize Nikki Cox from that bad Married with Children ripoff, Unhappily Ever After, from about 10 years ago.
I don't know. I would have sworn to God she's a porn star. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Too bad.
N-I-K-K-I?
Yep.
Yes.
C-O-X-X?
Yeah. She definitely got stretch marks on those boobs,
you got any
too.
Pictures of Nikki Cox,
oh,
the
sure,
porn star?
Yeah. What do you got, bring some
only one X.
Yeah, on the actress. On the
actress.
Las
on
Vegas
the actress,
actress,
only one X. On the porn star, two X's.
There we go. Porn star with two X's who does the bad things.
Okay.
Here's a recent picture.
That's the Nikki Cox from Vegas.
From Las
That's
Vegas.
The one I thought was a porn
right,
star.
Right.
She actually looks kind of innocent there, doesn't she?
Oh, please. Look at that mouth. That's a mouth that looks like it's had 1,000 insects in it. Whatever that word is from before that I can't remember right
you
now.
You communicated it.
Okay.
That was accurate.
She's hot as balls.
Yeah.
She's hot as James Caan balls.
A lot
She's
going
hot
on
as
there.
Balls.
Well, I'll tell you, I might have been wrong about Nikki Cox, but I'm definitely right that Tom Selleck is replacing James Caan on that show.
And that sucks. He will be missed.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's that movie or show Nikki Cox was in with the talking rabbit?
Oh, Greg the Bunny?
The Bunny. Talking
was she,
bunny,
was she on Greg the Bunny? That was a show with...
What the hell was Greg the Bunny? Yeah.
Greg the Bunny was a show, Mike, that had the guy that was... hello, Scott. Seth Green.
Yeah. Oh, Seth Green was in there. Greg the Bunny.
It's not bad. I got a box set of Greg the Bunny. It's actually pretty funny.
Did you get a chance to see Nikki Cox's bunny?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. It goes and goes. Her Energizer bunny. Hello.
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 Peter North is married to Nikki Cox.
Who's married to Nikki Cox?
Actually, Peter North is married to Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh, stop. Get out
Peter
of here.
North.
Bye!
Peter North. And he's the, in my opinion, I believe he is the funniest male porn star.
I think so.
Peter North.
Does he get it?
Peter North, who you, well, from what you've said, have something in common with.
Damn straight,
Should be proud of that.
Damn
Do you know
straight.
The one I'm talking about?
I know what you're saying. It's raining men. I got what you're saying. Uh-huh. I understand. That's a compliment, friend.
You don't have any pictures of the porn star, Nikki Cox?
I haven't found any yet, no. Okay. Right. I'm not sure how she spells
just for
her.
Some reason, I'm
How did you look in your wallet?
Let me try a different spelling.
I think it's two K's and two X's.
Why did you look in your merce, in your man purse?
With his incredible collection.
Oh, and Mike, this bulletin just been handed me. Don't forget, Steel Breeze will be performing at the Peppermint Casino in Reno. That place that we've been
at. Peppermill?
Yeah. The Peppermill Casino.
Right?
Yeah.
The Peppermill.
In Reno, May 8th through the 13th.
We had a great time at that party.
How about that wine?
That was a great suite, wasn't it?
How about that expensive wine?
Yeah. Here's $1 million bottle of wine, and Don says, gotta go. Good night, everybody.
That's right. Okay.
Not before you ordered another one.
We just have thousands of correctors calling us right now. This would be a good time for this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.